Let me tell you how outrageous this is going forward with the Centers for Disease Control and their directives to hospitals and doctors. They tell hospitals to list COVID as the cause of death, even if you're just assuming and it's not confirmed. Now, why would they do that, you ask? Because their models continue to fail. Welcome back to the No Panic Zone. This is the Steve Gerber Show. The models continue to fail. The predictions of 2.2 million Americans dying was then reduced to 100,000 to 240,000. A new model says 81,000. Another model now says 40,000 Americans, maybe less, will die from COVID-19. And the reason the CDC and others have to say, well, attributed to COVID-19, they are going to be in a desperate search to attribute as many deaths as possible to COVID-19 if the models are as bad as they're starting to appear that they are. I mean, they have to justify destroying 10 million jobs. That's so far. Could be 20 million jobs or more by the time this is done. $9 trillion in world domestic output. GDP worldwide down $9 trillion as a result of this COVID-19 pandemic. And if the models are as bad as they say, and only a slight fraction of what was predicted actually comes to pass, they will desperately be mining as many deaths as possible to try to justify their reckless behavior and their reckless numbers. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention's guidance on determining COVID-19 as a cause of death isn't going to help the accuracy either. Issued March the 24th, the guidance tells hospitals to list COVID-19 as the cause of death, regardless of whether or not there's actual testing to confirm that's the case. Instead, even if the coronavirus was a contributing factor, let me give you an example. I saw a story here in Michigan over the weekend that the youngest person to die in this state was 20 years old, and the oldest was 107. Well, pardon me if I don't just think that the COVID-19 was the sole cause of the death of a 107-year-old patient. A 107-year-old patient could pass away if the wind shifts improperly. A haircut could be a fatal experience. Reading about a 91-year-old woman who passed away, I believe, in Oregon from COVID-19, and her family couldn't go to the funeral. Now, that's a family tragedy that a 91-year-old woman died of a respiratory illness. It's not news. I'm sorry, but if an octogenarian dies of a viral pneumonia, it's not news. It's not any more news than if they died of a bacterial pneumonia. Yet here's where we are. And so the International Statistical Classification of Disease-Related Health Problems, or ICD, has established the code U07.1 for death by coronavirus infection, a secondary code 07.2 for clinical epidemiological diagnosis of COVID-19 where the laboratory confirmation is inconclusive or not available or was actually never done. Therein lies the problem. You see, many people will die with COVID-19. That's a huge difference of dying from COVID-19. Now, I've had the opportunity to speak to some people now that have battled the disease and made their way through. It's no walk in the park. These people are extremely ill. One hospitalized that recently I spoke to, one not. No walk in the park. This painful thing to fight through. I mean, if you've had the bad flu, you know how bad that is, right? Maybe a really bad flu is similar to a mild case of COVID-19. But the point being is, we've shut down the entire world, and what is the cost of doing business there? How many people have lost their jobs, their homes, their spouses, as a result of everything that's going on, become addicted to alcohol or drugs? What you have to look at now are the overdoses and the problems that come from unemployment. 10 million so far, like I said, 20 million on the way. I have a story here of a murder-suicide in Illinois because the guy thought maybe they had contracted the virus, him and his wife. So he killed her and then killed himself. They didn't even get tested. It was the fear that killed him. The panic kills people. Heart attacks, aneurysms, stroke. Deaths that will never be attributed to the panic put forth, but certainly should be. So the cost of doing business has to be considered. When you shut down the entire world economy, when you shut down the American economy that was the best in the world and the envy of the world, on the projections of models like that from Imperial College or new models from the University of Washington that seem to fail every day and fall short of their projections, you have to ask yourself, at what cost are we doing this? And yes, we will go back to work. But governors in the many states, many want to hang on to that power for a lot longer. In Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer asked for a 70-day extension of her emergency powers. 70 days. That would take you to mid-July. Even the most wild assertions don't put this disease in full swing by mid-July. Here's a question that was asked over the weekend. Australia, last time I checked, had 41 deaths from COVID-19. 41. And people said, well, what's different about Australia? Try this on for size. It's called summer. Viruses notoriously do poorly in summer. Humidity and heat tend to destroy viruses. In fact, I would say get a humidifier in your home. Wear a mask. They work if you feel so inclined. But the number's flattening in New York and nationally right now. Where is it going to go? We don't know yet. Still some hot spots to deal with, no question. Some dark days ahead and a lot of people still that will not survive this. But we have to focus on what comes next and how we pivot to going back to work. 25 after on a Tuesday. It's the No Panic Zone. Thank you for being here. It's the Steve Guerra Show, back after this.